Before I get started in this episode of the Circle and the Panda podcast, I'd like to dedicate this one to my son, Lawson Matthew Ross. Keep chasing those big dreams, big guy. We love you very much and very proud of you. Now, how did I find this guest this time? Our guest is Matthew Marquette. Now, this says a lot about him, the way I found him. So I was going online and I was researching what's it like to be a triathlete. Not that I want to be one. My son is becoming one, but I'm not. But I was just doing a little bit of research about what the sport's like, and I pulled up the rankings, the world rankings on the Ironman triathletes. And what do I see there? I see, okay, well, in the world rankings, Matthew, my guest today, is number four in the world rankings. So I just reached out to him on Instagram and said, hey, we had a conversation. Now, it was kind of a blind reach out. So it says an awful lot about Matthew when he sees somebody that, quite frankly, is probably older than his father and just asking a few questions. And he has a busy life, Matthew does. So I'm very grateful. It says a lot about his willingness to give back that he would even have a conversation with me. But now here's what I found out when I did this research. Now, this is a bio that he did not send me that I found online. So he is, Matthew Marquette is arguably the most successful working triathlete in the pro field with three Ironman podiums during the 2023 rookie season. His rookie season, he had that. Marquette balances triathlons with his time as a medical student, don't know how he does this, at the Ohio State University College of Medicine, and as a researcher for the OSU James Comprehensive Center Cancer Center. He is driven not only to race fast, but also to leverage sport to make a positive impact through increased cancer awareness. Matthew's goals are lofty, aiming to pursue research, integrating his experience as a medical student triathlete. So you can see by reading that bio, I was very curious about how he is doing these things, and he described it very well in this episode. So listen in. I know regardless of what field you're in, there are some things that you're going to be able to learn from what Matthew says. Matthew, thank you so much for being on this podcast with me.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It's a real honor.
I just hit you up on Instagram, and man, it says an awful lot about you that you would respond back to a guy that's older than your dad, asking questions about what you do in order to learn. And so thank you for that. I'm very grateful.
Of course. Of course.
But little did I know all that you're involved in. And so I'm going to read from this list, and it's remarkable. And it was a bio that I found online, and you hadn't written it. A lot of people write their own bio, but the most successful working triathlete in the pro field with three Ironman podiums during his 2023 rookie season. You balance triathlon with his time as a medical student at the Ohio State College of Medicine, as a researcher for the OSU James Comprehensive Cancer Center. You're driven not only to race fast, but also to leverage the sport to make a positive impact through increased cancer awareness. Well, Matthew's goals are lofty, aiming to pursue research, integrating his experience as a medical student triathlete. Man, to use a platform for something worthwhile as that, that explains why I'm so excited to have you on here with me. So thank you, Matthew. Why did you start doing triathlons in the first place?
Yeah. So, it was, my path into triathlon was pretty atypical and, so I guess simultaneously intentional, but also unintentional, or spontaneous. And that basically what had happened is that, my senior year of college was, when COVID-19 was, it was 2021, COVID-19 was really like kind of at its peak. And so I was a swimmer in college and our senior swim season was canceled. And so I was kind of looking for a combination of something to do as well as something to like really push myself in a way that I hadn't been pushed in a long time, considering that our swim season had been canceled. And also Swimming's really a year-round sport, and between seasons you get a week, maybe 2 weeks of break at most, before you go up again. And so all of a sudden I had this big chunk of time. Our winter break was pretty long where I went to school, and so I had like a full month of like that I could fill the time with. And so I decided to actually bike across the US in that time. And
Wow.
so in 19, I guess technically 20 days, I biked from San Diego to Jacksonville, Florida, and finished in 2021. On actually today, 4 years ago, I finished. And so I was kind of looking, so like I did that, and like that was an incredible experience, and learned a lot about myself, and I think I grew a lot. And honestly, like after that, I was like, kind of, what's next? I wanted something else to train for the rest of the spring before I graduated. And so I decided to sign up for a half Ironman in the spring of 2021. And honestly, kind of the rest is history from there. I did really well in the first race. And then, but, and like I say, really well, I did really well as an amateur. Like, in no way was like I this professional podium level from the start. I did really well in my first race, but like, I could run circles around that athlete now. And so at that point I qualified for the world championships as an age grouper and decided, you know what, that's 6 weeks into med school. I can kind of try and balance both, for 6 weeks, and then I'll go off and just be a medical student. And so did that, and I actually ended up doing really well. I got second in my age group at the 2021 Ironman half the half Ironman World Championships when they were in St. George. And so really it was at that point that I was like, okay, like, what's my future? Like, am I just gonna go back to school and become a normal med student, or am I gonna like, I guess, kind of take a little bit of a leap of faith and really pursue this more? And because I think like in medicine, I think there's kind of two levels of being, well, there's not very many elite athletes who are also medical students, but like in my mind, I felt like there was really kind of two options to pursue sport as a medical student. It's just that you do it, and you do it casually, and you do it for health, and like you do one race a year or whatnot, and like you're just doing it to do it. And then there's like this big like no man's land where you're like kind of good, not really good. Like I don't really foresee that as being any more valuable than just doing it to do it. And so like I didn't really want to like train 20 hours a week to just be like okay. I really wanted to make sure that if I was going to devote 20 hours a week to this, that I was that there was the potential to become really, really good. And so I kind of took like the leap of faith, and from the winter of 2021 to 2022, like really went after it. And then spring of 22, I did my first full distance Ironman, and I ended up winning the overall age group title at Texas by 23 minutes, and actually got 10th among the pros in that race. And so that moment was really, I think, when it was like, oh, like there's something here. And so yeah, so basically like that's, and then after that point the rest is pretty much history, and I was really committed to it and knew that this was the right path to take. But it was funny, like actually earlier this week I was talking to one of my medical mentors who's known me since the start of medical school, and we were catching up about like that period of time where I was like, oh, do I do this or not? And I'm very happy that I ended up making the decision to kind of take the leap of faith. It wasn't like a total leap of faith. We knew that there was some potential, and I think my coach had a lot more belief in me than I did. But yeah, so that's kind of the story, I guess, in a very succinct form.
Oh, that's great. And so you made a big, I can only imagine you made a big impression on that first race out where you finished so far ahead in your age group and then so high in the pro level. Now, did I see this right? I was looking online. Are you fourth in the world? Was that right? Are you ranked fourth?
So this year there was something called the Ironman Pro Series, which was a season-long narrative for the series. It used to be that basically like all that mattered was how you did in your last race, and then also in the World Championships. And this year, they basically created a season with year-end rankings. And yeah, I finished fourth in the world in those year-end rankings.
Congratulations.
Thank
Hey,
you.
how did you balance both in the beginning? Because I can imagine as you took that leap of faith and did it, there had to be moments where you're going, how am I going to do both of these things? How did you do that?
Yeah, I don't know. Like it just kind of happened. I think like the biggest thing is that I swam in college, and I was a chemistry major at Princeton University, and so academically that was incredibly challenging. And also being a swimmer was incredibly challenging. And so I had this, this history of doing elite athletics and really challenging academics at the same period of time. And so it really wasn't too much of an adjustment, to be perfectly honest. Med school's hard, and I'm training about 20 hours a week, and so it was kind of just like a continuation of the mindset and the skills and principles that I had focused on in college. Was really kind of, I think, the best way to explain it.
Yeah, hey, I got a couple of questions I want to add. I'm going to be very aware of your time though. So as I add these, make sure that so I was watching other interviews with you online, and I would recommend that anybody that's interested in hearing your story, and people should be, regardless of what field they're in, because it's a great story. So do you structure? So I can only imagine that med school has a lot of. So how do you structure your training? Is it the same time every day? Is it placed in a bucket? How do you do that?
Yeah, no, this is a great question, and I think it's like really important. So what I've kind of figured out over time is that I really try and think about the day as a combination of like the amount of energy I have and motivation. And so I try and everyone's a little different on this. And so I'm more of a morning person. I have my highest motivation and also my highest energy, both physically and mentally, in the morning. And so what that means is that I try to pretty much always do one workout first thing in the morning, like right when I wake up to start the day. And then I immediately focus on after that, I focus on what are the most important things that I get done that day, and really focus on what are the things that take the most cognitive, like what are the things with the highest cognitive load. And I try and do those earlier in the day, because and then I save the things that are less cognitively demanding, like emails, for the evening. And then like same thing with workouts. I generally, when I'm able to, I try and do my harder workout first thing in the morning, and I do my easier workout in the afternoon. Because I mean, like, we've all felt it, like you come home from work and you're exhausted, and the last thing you want to do is do a really hard workout. And so I kind of try and structure my day like that, where the harder things are in the morning, and then like the volume slash going through the motion things are more in the afternoon or the evening. And so that's, I think, kind of probably the best way to conceptualize like with how I structure my day. But I always do a workout in the morning, and then kind of in the late afternoon slash early evening, is kind of how I do my workouts. And then medical school is in between, and then I guess a little bit after dinner and before I go to bed.
Yeah, I see. I always look for what's common between all my guests. And that right there, regardless of if you're an entrepreneur, business owner, high-level athlete like you are, is structure it in a way that you get the hard things knocked out early. And then, yeah, you've structured in a way that works well for you. And that's another
And
thing. You've got.
the other thing that I would say is that I think like what's worked really well for me is really having a framework to your day, which is exactly what I just laid out. Like, do my workout here, then I do my harder things here. Like, because for a while in college, like, I don't know, some of my friends made fun of me for my structure, but like, so I tried to be a little bit more spontaneous and just figure out things as I went. But then I realized I was spending like 30 to 45 minutes every day just figuring out what I was going to do that day and when I was going to do it. And so like when you have a structure, like I think a big part, which a lot of like other entrepreneurs and leaders have talked about as well, and I know this, is like when there are things that you can do to reduce your cognitive load for the day, you should try and do them. So like this is why, like Mark Zuckerberg wears like a hoodie every day, or wears, someone will wear
Like a
like
black
a white
t-shirt or
t-shirt
something.
and jeans every day, or they wear the same like a black suit with a white shirt every day, so that you don't have to spend energy thinking about those things, and you can spend your mental energy for that day on things that are more important, like the decisions you have to make or the things you have to study, et cetera, et cetera. And so that applies for like the structure of your day as well, in terms of like if you just have a framework, and then you can figure out what you're gonna put where, like what smaller things you're gonna put where. But having that framework ends up saving a lot of time and mental energy.
You know, I'm making notes as you're talking because I'm learning like right now. And so let me, along those lines, what's it called? Time blocking. So you list out the most important things and you place them in time blocks during the day. Is that how you recommend that we do that?
Well, I mean, I know that that's like really popular. Honestly, I if anything, I make a list of like, this is the most important thing. These are the things that I'd like to get done today. These are in the order of importance, and I just try and get through as many of them as I can. I personally don't really time block, because honestly, a lot of what I'm doing, it's really, really hard to predict how long it's going to take you. And so time blocking doesn't really work as well for the profession I'm in, but I think for other people and whatnot, that's a more doable thing. And also, like, if you just have a list, then you don't have to figure out like, okay, I'm going to do this here, do this here, do this here. It's like you focus on this until you're done, and then you do your next thing. And so that's kind of how I do it.
Okay, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to go a little bit some side note on this, and it's going to show my age and my athletic ability. So I had a pickleball buddy ask me today. They knew I was talking to you. I was like, "Man, you can't wait! I can't wait to tell you." So he said, "JD, have you ever done a triathlon?" I said, "No." They said, "What happens is when you swim and they come out of the water, your muscles are so used to swimming that it's hard to get adjusted to the next event." He wanted me to ask you that question. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly say so, and it's same thing with going from the bike to the run, but like as with any sport, you kind of train it and you get used to it. And so like, it's certainly like, I don't know, I would say like you get out of the water and you have a couple wobbles, but then for the most part, I'm fine after
Oh,
that.
okay. Okay. It comes with the training. He said you got to wait a period of time before it. So if you're trained at the level you are, it's not. He said, "You know, it's just such a different use of the muscle that all right, so do you ever get to the point during a race where you go, man, I just hit this wall. I just hit this wall. I can't I'm gonna have to stop or I can't go on." And if you do, how do you push through it?
This is a great question. Thankfully, I would never really call it a wall. I think a wall is a pretty bad place to be if you truly hit a wall. But I mean, I think any pro or age grouper who's done triathlete certainly has kind of what we would call darker moments, which is like when you start to have self-doubt, and or maybe your energy is not quite as high. And that is very common, and I think it's rare to have a race where that doesn't happen at least once. Especially in something like an Ironman, where for me that takes about 8 hours. 8 hours is a long time. And so of course things are going to crop up, and I think the biggest thing is like, my bigger purpose in this is to kind of honor the people in my life that have had cancer, and to serve as a source of inspiration for other people that have had cancer, and to honor like, all the patients at the James Cancer Center, and the really hard stuff that they're doing. And so it's I really try and think about like, yes, I might want to quit, but like also what they're going through is so much more challenging and difficult than what I'm doing, and that like, that like if they can do what they're doing, then I can push through this moment and like keep going. So that's kind of how I think about it.
What a humble way to look at it, man. You've made it about something much bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's, yeah, I can't add a comment to that. It's just a beautiful way to say it. Well done. And so you're doing it using your platform. And I encourage everyone, regardless of what the platform is, it doesn't have to be world ranking or business, whatever that is. Use your platform for something bigger than yourself and where it's going to help others. And man, you're doing that in a large way. Why cancer? There's several different platforms. Why that one? I mean, there's several different platforms, several different causes. Why that one?
I mean, it's the one that I think just makes the most sense for me. So like I've had a handful of family and close friends that have had cancer over the course of my lifespan, and cancer is also kind of the field that I'm most interested in going into in medicine. So I'm really interested in head and neck cancer, so kind of cancers that happen around this area, around and in your mouth and throat and kind of your sinuses. And so like it just made sense. Like that's the thing that I think like is the cause that's had the most presence in my life. And so it made the most sense to kind of try and do that. And also, I think one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that cancer is so like medicine in general, but specifically cancer. Obviously, there's a lot of money that needs to be spent to do research. Like we spend a lot of money on research to begin with. But unfortunately, like especially the last 20 years, the amount of funding that has come from the government has gotten less and less each year instead of more. And so what that means is that philanthropy, private donations and stuff like that is really what has been enabled research on cancer to be continue to grow. And so there's this incredibly high need for philanthropy as a way to fund cancer research. And so that's also part of the reason why I'm so passionate about it, is that like now and in my future, in order to do research, I need to get money from others. And so while I'm at a position now in my life where I can, use a platform to help raise money and raise awareness about the importance of cancer research, like I think it would be a mistake not to try and give back a little bit.
Oh yeah, and my wish from this too is that somebody hears this and listens, and then follows you, supports you, fan base. So what's the best way for someone to give, or stay in touch with you in terms of the efforts and your money raising, and what's the best way to somebody reach out to you, Matthew, to follow you?
Yeah, so I mean, for the most part, in terms of social media, really all I am is I'm on Instagram, and my I guess username is Matthew D. Marquardt, which is my first name D, then Marquardt, and then Pelotonia, which is spelled Pelotonia, is the cancer fundraiser that I'm the most involved with, because it's based in Ohio, and 100% of any donations to that organization goes straight to cancer research at Ohio State and funds research of people like me, as well as a lot of the other cancer surgeons and f cancer physicians at Ohio State. And so I have a profile page that people are more than welcome to look at and donate. But I think just more generally, like even if you want to have, for whatever reason, if you maybe you dislike Ohio State because you're from Michigan, or there's you want to donate somewhere more locally, there's tons of different organizations. And I think the biggest thing is donate to an organization that's credible and that has like a large amount of money, because there's definitely an economies of scale where the larger the organization is, the more efficiently they can use money. And also, yeah, and they'll just have you'll be able to leverage that money more if you go towards a larger organization, and obviously you always want to make sure that the money is going to something that's legit and not like a scam or something like that.
Well, I can be sure that if when we give money to you and the groups you're associated with, it's going to the right place. I'm gonna add the information in the show notes if it's okay with you.
Absolutely, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, and Matthew, I'm gonna end on this. Thank you so much about what you're doing in the sport and what you're doing for others, and what you did for me personally in taking the time today. So, and for our listeners, this is gonna be a gift to us, to many of the listeners that are going, I want to use my own platform for something great. Here's a guy that's a great example of that. So thank you so much, Matthew, for being on here with me.
Of course, yeah, no, it was a pleasure. So thank you for having me.
And this concludes another episode of the Circle of the Panda podcast. How cool is that conversation with Matthew? Regardless of what field you're in, there's several things we can learn from this discussion. And if you want to support his efforts, you can find links to where you can find him in the show notes below. I wish you all the best and peace to you.